Croeso to episode 135 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. We've got a slightly different podcast for you this week as I'm still working away in a different time zone. So it's been difficult to tie everyone down for a traditional podcast. So instead this week, we've got a really exciting show, albeit a bit different to normal. I was lucky to have the chance to catch up with Cymru C manager Mark Jones ahead of their game with England C next week. And I also had a chat with Charlie Phillips, my co-producer on our upcoming and debut short film, Forged. He explains all about the film and our new venture, Terrace. And while I've got your attention, this is your reminder that issue 13 of Alternative Wales is out now. You can order a copy or subscribe at alternativewales.com/shop. It's really, really good and filled with some great stuff, courtesy of our fantastic army of contributors. So get a copy, buy your friend a copy, buy your mother a copy. As a late Mother's Day present, there's no better present in the world. And it is the best way to support us as a podcast. And it also allows us to keep making Welsh football content that maybe you won't get anywhere else. Obviously, I'm well aware there is loads to talk about across the world of Welsh football, especially considering we missed the podcast last week. Obviously, there's the South Wales Derby this weekend. We got the squad announcement, which by the time this is out, would have been announced. Britain Ferry women have won the Andrans South. Cardiff's late comeback against Ipswich. Wrexham's returned to form. The women's friendly win out in Ireland. The qualification group for the women's Euro 25 tournament. Obviously, the new manager. The list goes on. You know, we could do three podcasts on everything. But unfortunately, due to sort of real life factors and the fact that unfortunately Alternative Wales doesn't quite pay my bills yet, I hope, we can't really dive into that properly and do it justice. But fear not, this will be a brilliant episode regardless, and you'll hopefully find out a bit about the Cymru C team and our upcoming film Forged. So we'll start with our chat to Charlie Phillips of Terrace, and then we'll hear from Jonah. Enjoy. I'm now joined by a special guest making his podcast debut. It's Charlie Phillips of Terrace. Charlie, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, mate. We're going to have a chat about Terrace, what we're doing as Alternative Wales and Terrace, and then a bit about our upcoming documentary on the Talbot football scene in the context of the job losses in the steelworks. So we'll start, Charlie, with Terrace. It's made up of me, you, and our friend Greg Kane, a Welsh sort of a new production company hoping to make all sorts of content across the board. So, you know, I know because I'm part of the start of the idea, but tell the people out there what Terrace is, what our aims are, and what we're trying to do.
I mean, that's like a massive responsibility. Like, oh, just give everyone the context they need instantaneously. Yeah. Now. But I haven't actually prepped you with this question, so you haven't written anything down to give context, which is super helpful.
Yeah.
Right. The long and short of it is we want to make content that is for the fans and stuff that we enjoy, and that's high quality and that's enjoyable. And that's the aim, essentially, is that we want to go out there and make different content. We want to make documentaries. We want to make audio stuff. We want to make long form, short form, a little bit of everything, and just be across the Welsh football landscape and beyond.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was sort of born out of our frustration in not having the right platform to sort of make these stuff in our personal lives. You know, we all have to work other jobs and we're all in the media, but we're all making stuff for people and sometimes not necessarily stuff that is at our heart. So we sort of wanted to channel our love for Welsh football and other sports and culture as well. And that's sort of where it all began, I guess. So we decided that we're going to make this documentary about football in Talbot. I thought it was a really interesting... I've always been intrigued by football in Talbot because it's such a... it's got such a massive football scene. You know, if you look at the Cymru South, there's five teams in the Neath but Talbot area, and then you've got, like, you know, teams all the way through the all the way through the pyramid, and obviously the but Talbot local leagues as well. And obviously with the news that the steelworks were cutting all those jobs, we all felt like there was a story there to tell. And it was quite interesting, wasn't it, Charlie? We went to Margam, first of all. You know, tell Margam, it was really, they sort of captured my heart a bit.
Yeah, I was quite shocked at Margam, because we kind of got there and there's this car park that was behind the main road going into Margam, like sort of very industrial. Got there, you could see the work straight away, and you're like, oh wow, okay, this is pretty, like, the rough is probably the wrong word, like scenic in a really weird way, I guess would be the nice way
brutal,
to put it.
Brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, brutal. You've got the pitch in front of you, and you can see the train track that sort of just sits above it, and the road, and then the steelworks is right there. And you see, like, the sort of thing you see at every, you know, council pitch, really, is that you've got these two sort of buildings that were built in the late 70s or 80s that house, like, you know, changing rooms. And you're like, oh, that's that, you know, where it is. But Margam was so interesting. They had the two buildings, and there was, you know, they had the boot room there for local donations, and they had, like, a real, real nice community feel about it. And you can see that they're a club in a real growth, and there's a real stride there. And it was really, really nice to see. And, you know, we spoke to Liam, and we spoke to, you have to remind me of names here, right? Mark and Liam, that's the one. I'm literally sorry, I've just been editing this entire thing, and everyone's names are just mush in my head. So we spoke to them at the club, and it was really nice to have the perspective, you know, especially from Mark, who's said he'd been at the club for 30 years, but he wanted to, you know, help push the club on again. And I feel that sort of, it captures the entire spirit of the documentary, really, Mark himself, because it's a person who's been a part of the community for a long time, who wants the community to grow, who wants people to come together, and who wants the area to succeed. And I feel like that's a lot of what the doc is trying to say.
Yeah, I think with Margam, I didn't expect them to have such a structure in place, because, you know, they play in the but Talbot District League, which is obviously, I think, tier 7, maybe tier 8, off the top of my head. You know, and equivalent teams tend to just play on local council, you know, fields, essentially. But they've got a hell of a setup, you know, across the club. You know, they're very much in place to rattle through the leagues if they perform on the pitch, which is exciting. But I think the most exciting thing about it was the stuff they were doing off the pitch. You touched on the boot room there. I'd sort of vaguely known of the boot room project, but seeing it up close, and, you know, especially when you bring in the context of the job losses that are about to happen at the steelworks, it's a really important thing, isn't it, the boot room project?
Yeah, and the projects around it as well as that, they've obviously got a disability football team as well. They've got, you know, kids clubs going all the way through the ages. They've got a lot of involvement. It's a really, really interesting case study of how you should run a club at that level, I think, because it's so community focused and it's so getting people involved, and they really care about where they are and they care about their place within the community as well. And that's sort of how I felt. And I felt the same at Port Talbot Town as well, really, is that they really did care about where they stood. And all the clubs, you know, we went to, obviously, Port Talbot Town, we went to Avon Lido, and we spoke to someone from Avon United, Rory. And it felt like all of them really, really cared about Port Talbot as a town, as a wider town, and not just about their club in that area. They cared about every club within that area.
Yeah, it was quite interesting, actually, how we spoke to about 6 or 7 people in the end, didn't we, properly, you know, in depth. And when we asked about what makes football in but Talbot so special, they all came up with a very similar answer, in that, you know, yes, on the pitch, they're rivals, you know, whatever level they're playing at, but they want each other to succeed as well. You know, they want football in but Talbot to grow. They want football in but Talbot to be successful. And I'm sure if you ask, you know, some of the sides in the Cymru South, for example, you know, Britain Ferry are currently going for the title, although they're making a bit of a big ask of it at the moment. I'm sure if you ask the likes of Deutra and Avonlido, they'd probably rather see Britain Ferry go up and see football in Portalbert thrive, you know, because they know that what football offers in their community is bigger than the clubs themselves. You know, and I'm sure a lot of those players have probably played for four or five of those clubs. That's sort of how these things work. And it was just fascinating to sort of speak to the people in amongst it. And obviously you mentioned Portalbert Town, which is where we went after Margam. Obviously one of Wales's historic clubs, you know, former Cymru Premier side that, you know, they've played in Europe. I think they finished a high of third once, 1 year. Obviously fallen on hard times due to sort of mismanagement and stuff. But going there and speaking to Rhiannon, who is currently the chair, it feels like they're back on their feet and they're building towards, you know, reigniting what made the club special. Because you go there and the ground is phenomenal. What an unbelievable football ground.
It's so sick there. Yeah.
Proper and like, throwback ground, but in the best way.
Yeah, and I went and shot again on a separate day. I went to shoot a match there on a Saturday, and it was it was brilliant. And I loved everything about it. You know, stood up on the top of the pitch watching it, and like, it's very old school, and they've kind of kept a lot of the soul in the club. And I know they've had a lot of issues, which Rhiannon touched on when she spoke to us, and I think are very well publicised, the issues that have gone on there. And I think it's just so nice that they have kept that spirit like going, and they've kept that feeling in the club. And also they're not unrealistic. They're not like, we want to get back to Europe straight away. They're like, our aim is to get back to the Cymru South and make that push, and that's where we want to be. We want to be Cymru South. We're not trying to, you know, have ideas about our station, because we know where we sit and where we sit in the community. But also there seems to be an appetite to want to do that type of football, which, you know, I think people listening will probably go, ugh, at this, but like, I don't watch much of the Cymru Leagues. I don't, you know, I don't have the opportunity to read. I don't watch much live football outside of watching Wales. And I try to go to as many matches as I can, unless I'm, and the most of the matches I'm at, I'm working on anyway. So whenever I get a chance to go to the match, it's really nice to see that there does seem to be a real growth in the Cymru Leagues and the Cymru South. Mm. And in Portalbert, it seemed that everyone has an appetite to watch football.
Yeah, and obviously you went then the following week. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it to Avonlido versus Goitre, which obviously in itself is a Portalbert derby.
Yeah, which I was way, way more rowdy than I thought it was going to be as well. Yeah, which was class. It was amazing.
We spoke to Richard Taylor, who's been, I think, press officer at Avonlido for 20 years, I think said. Obviously, we spoke to Mark Pittman as well, who's a football writer from Portalbert, does a lot of work with the FAW and UEFA, but also, you know, is a fountain of knowledge on Portalbert, not just in football, but beyond. How was the Avonlido experience compared to obviously, we didn't go to the game at the other two. What was that experience like?
Yeah, I think because we've shot on a match day, like just from a shooting perspective from me, like creatively, I think it was the most difficult to shoot because it was busy, which is amazing for the club, but a nightmare for us because it's not like if we had a chance to go film. So we got Richard, but we were also able to get Rory McCreesh from Avon United because he was there supporting Avonlido, which just shows the like the community. There's a real community there because they want to support each other. So, you know, I've got a massive thank you to Mark and Richard and to Rory on the day because they didn't have to give us their time and they had other stuff on and they did. And like you said, Mark is he's just a fountain of knowledge. Like the amount of stuff that he was able to sort of convey to us, stuff that, you know, is a deeper about the like the socioeconomics of the area as well and give us more context than that. As a bloke grew up in the area, he was fantastic. And you know, Rory was able to give us some nice modern context as well on the wider footballing structures and talked about, you know, post-COVID, how the sporting landscape in the area has changed away from rugby and motor football, which is quite interesting. I think I've seen a lot more of that across Wales, really. And Richard was just fantastic. He clearly cares so much about the club.
Who's his passion, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he just cares so much about the club and the people. He really cares about people. And you can tell that he worries for his club, but he also worries for the people around his club.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I obviously watched the interviews back, and they were fantastic. And I really was interested in what Mark said about, you know, going back even to the 60s and 70s, that in the steelworks, people would talk about their football teams. You know, they'd go on shift, and you'd either have teammates on your shift or opposition on your shift that they would have played on the weekend before, or they're playing on the weekend, come in. And I think that just sums up what makes football such a great game, really, and how important it is. But obviously, you know, we've talked about how brilliant these football clubs and what they're doing to sort of offer an escape for a lot of people in the area. But, you know, the reason we're doing it is because of bad news that is coming out of the steelworks. And it's bleak, isn't it? What lies ahead for the town. And, you know, we've seen what happened to communities in the valleys when the mines shut. And, you know, the support isn't there from the government or whatever for these communities. And this is where the football clubs become more than football clubs, isn't it? Because for a lot of people, a few tough years lie ahead.
Yeah, I think the clubs can give a real support, but also an out for the mental health, the explore and, you know, exercise and do that sort of thing is just generally, but also as a place to be able to congregate around and enjoy something together and back something and, you know, commit their time to something that they can enjoy. But also the worry is that are people going to be able to be in a financial position to do those things as well with the steelworks closing? And I think people aren't unrealistic in Port Talbot about what's happening and what has happened. You know, they're not expecting this to last forever, but they were expecting more support earlier on. They were expecting a nicer transition. They were expecting to be treated better than they have been, because they've had they've had the bad end of a shitty stick, definitely, with how this has happened. And it's not going to get easier, but they're realistic about that. And that's why I think the community want to pull together in the right direction, doing all this now, and make sure that at the end of the day, everyone is pulling in the same direction and is doing the best for the town.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's sort of what we wanted to capture in the documentary, and I think we've done a really good job of it.
Also, I haven't seen the final edit yet.
Charlie's slaving over the edit. He's taken a bit of time away from the edit.
People will let us know if they don't like it.
Yeah,
I know,
I'm sure.
I know about that. And that is why I'm going to the cinema on Thursday night and turn my phone off. Okay. They'll release it and I'll go, all right, I'll deal with that one on Friday, see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, so the documentary is called Forged, Football in Steeltown. And that is out on Thursday, the 14th of March. My date's all over the shop. It'll be on the Alternative Wales YouTube channel, which obviously we'll link up across all our social media platforms. Charlie, obviously, this isn't a one and done. We're planning on doing plenty more going forward. Obviously, we don't want to reveal too much about what we're working on, but we've got plenty of ideas. And you know, not only are we doing this for Alternative Wales, we're doing this for whoever, really. If people are interested in working with us in whatever capacity, they can and they can reach out, because, you know, we're clearly passionate and we've got a lot of ideas, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. I think the goal would be that we can work with more people and, you know, like I said, long form, short form, and a real variety of content. But I think that, you know, the goal is now in 2024, 4 issues of Alt Wales magazine, 4 films to go with it, different lengths. I think we've bitten off more than we can chew with the first one, definitely. With, like, you know, it doesn't sound like much, a 12-minute doc, but 12-minute doc with 3 people working on it and everyone has full-time jobs is quite, you know, a toll. So I think might go for something shorter and sweeter for June's issue. Let's make sure the boys get it done on the pitch, and then we can start building ideas from there, I think.
Exactly, yeah. We'll see how next week goes when it comes to what we're doing in June. But yeah, exciting times
and
ahead.
And September.
Exactly, yeah. There's a lot to figure out. Yeah, thanks, Charlie, for joining me. And a reminder that you can watch Forged on Thursday, the 14th of March, from probably about 5 or 6 p.m. Don't put any times on it.
It'll go out.
No, exactly. It'll go out when it goes out. You'll have it when you have it. And it'll be bloody good. Go on.
Also, you know, one for those listening, if you haven't bought this month's mag, Ryan's done a very nice write-up about the whole piece as well.
Yeah, there we are.
And there's a QR code on there, so you can go straight, you know, QR code on in the magazine. It'll be out on Thursday. Be able to look at it straight away.
Exactly, yeah. Hopefully the magazines will have dropped onto anyone who's pre-ordered's doorstep. Yeah, there's a write-up. It's like an accompanying piece. It's not, you know, it's not the documentary. They both complement each other, I'd like to think. I think one of them gives the other the context.
Like Perrine sauce and Nando's.
Something like that, yeah. Something like that. Right, Charlie, you can go back to the digital coal face. And or I should say the digital furnace.
Yeah.
Charlie, thanks. And no doubt we'll talk again on the podcast when we've got more stuff to flog down the line.
Well, unless people think it's shit and then we never do it again.
Yeah, we just disappear into the shadows.
Yeah, actually we're not making docs anymore. Yeah, we're not making docs anymore. Can't remember why we did that anyway.
Yeah, thanks for Charlie. It's a pleasure to say that I'm joined by Cymru C manager Mark Jones, known to most as Jonah. Mark, how are you? Welcome to the podcast.
Fine, thank you, Ryan.
Good stuff. So before we get into the nuts and bolts, for those who may not know, can you explain what the Cymru C team is?
Yeah, of course. It's a representation of the Cymru Premier League. And we've been going for about the last 6 or 7 years. We play Wales, England C, which they named England C, every year in an annual encounter. And it's a great sort of international challenge match between ourselves and usually the Vauxhall, the national league representing all the national league clubs, which is, of course, what everybody calls the fifth or sixth division of the Football League.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great event always. So we'll start with the squad, first of all. A few new faces, some returning faces, and of course, sort of the usual faces that have been in the last few squads. We'll start with the new lads. Jordan Davis from Corners Quay, Rhys Aprazesi from Haverford West, Kelland Absalom from Bala, and Ethan Cann from Llanelli. What do you think the new faces bring to this squad?
I just think it's... players just improving their game every year. And I'd like to think that the target for players entering this league, especially the youngsters, you know, their target is to get in their first team with their club. And then once they establish themselves at their first team with their club, most probably their target is then to maybe grab a piece of the action for Wales C, which only takes place once a year. So to achieve it is very good for the players.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, in Jordan Davis's case, he's had a fantastic season. He's the top scoring Welshman in the league. He secured himself a summer move to Scottish Championship side, Greenock Morton. It felt like a no-brainer probably to include him. Was it one of the easier decisions you had to make?
Yeah, he came close a couple of times, Jordan, for maybe the last couple of seasons. But it looks like he's really found form now. He's at the top of his game. Obviously, that's why the professional club have come in to Connors Quay and you know, required his services for the beginning of the next season as a professional. And I just hope this would be a marvellous way for him. He looks like he would have made Europe with Connors Quay. He's still in the Welsh Cup semi-final. And I just hope he leaves us with maybe a goal or two from this, you know, the Wales C game to round his time off in our league.
Yeah, it would be the perfect sort of thank you and goodbye, wouldn't it? Ethan Cann is an interesting addition. The only player from Tier 2 obviously represents Llanelli, where the game is taking place. Scoring plenty of goals in Llanelli's title push. Very good chance he's going to be a Cymru Premier player next season. What about him stood out to you in particular and made you want to pick him?
I watched him a couple of seasons ago, in fact, when he was playing for Taftswell. And he impressed me then. And then when he stood up this team, Lee John's taking him on board down at Llanelli, you know, which is most probably a club with a higher profile in the Cymru South and a team who was wanting to win the league. Don't get me wrong, Taswell were brilliant with him and just encouraged him to go. And he's done really well. He's done well. He scored 19 or 20 goals now. He had a great Welsh Cup game against very good opponents, Penabont, and you know, he delivered a brace. And look, he's still a youngster. He's only 21. Got plenty of time ahead of him. And, you know, we'll just take it from there.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's an exciting prospect. Amongst the returning faces, a former Covey and current Covey, Noah Edwards and Daniel Gossett, I think their first squad since 2018, they're both having excellent seasons for their clubs. Noah Edwards moving to the Nomads in the summer and, you know, just being as brilliant as ever. And Daniel Gossett also having a great season with Carnarvon. What do they bring to the squad?
I just think they bring, you know, they bring, again, Noah might have been unlucky the last couple of seasons. Daniel is of course coming back from a very, very serious illness. You know, he suffered cancer, and to come back from what he's been through is just absolutely, you know, fantastic. It is a wonderful, wonderful achievement by Danny Gossett personally. And you know, obviously Carnarvon have helped him along the way, but for him to go through what he's been through and to come back and, you know, get back in at this level is fantastic. And Noah, again, you know, Noah's just a good player in this league, and it was never going to be long before he was going to get another, you know, throw at this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Obviously you've got these new faces there, but you know, propping up the squad essentially is this core that you've sort of formed over the last 2, 3, 4 iterations of this squad. You know, the likes of Connor Roberts, Miles Davis, Kane Owen, Emlyn Lewis, Clayton Green, Danny Davis. You know, they've played in these games before, including that famous night at the Oval 2 years ago. They've really become the spine and the core of this squad. What qualities do they have that mean that you keep picking them and keep them around this squad?
I just think, like you said, we turned it into a squad which is competing. Okay, that was our aim in the beginning when we started. You know, we were all in fear of it. I mean, I don't know how many other times I've said it, is they most probably get higher profile than us, that their league, our league, never gets as much credit as I think it should get. And this is just a chance for everybody in the Cymru Premier League, the players especially, to prove to other people that they're good enough to compete with teams from their level. And then players who you've just mentioned, over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, have created a, you know, a squad capable of competing. And that's the task. You know, none of them have come in and went missing when the going got tough. They just stuck in. And if anything, they've got better individually. So hopefully, you know, we might be getting better as a squad.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, it must be a really tough job to sort of narrow down all the quality in the league to just 20 players. You know, there's been a few names bandied about by pundits and managers that they felt could have been selected. You know, you've got the likes of Adam Davis and George Ratcliffe, I think were tipped highly to make it. Rhys Griffiths mentioned Keon Raffel on the weekend. You've also sort of left out Aaron Edwards, Leo Smith, Kane McLagan, who have been mainstays of the squads in recent years. Obviously, I don't envy you at all for having to narrow it down, but is there a particular reason a few of these names might have missed out this time around? Or was it just a case of freshening things up?
No, it's just a case of freshening up. I mean, the way you reel them names off then, right? I think you're number one contender for when I finish, son. I think I was superb. Every one of them came really close. So, listen, that shows your, you know, you follow the league and obviously every one of them, it's a tough gig picking it. That's the worst part of it, and upsetting people you don't want to upset. So, but that's football, as we know. Like I said, everybody in football gets highlights and disappointments every Saturday, and that's what the game's all about. You know, we got a big, massive game against Finland 2 nights later. All we hope is everybody finishes happy on that night, exactly the same as us, because that's what football's all about, highs and lows. And getting in a squad is a high. I know it's disappointing if you're not in, and you know, after being in there so many years, my sympathy is with everyone who's just missed out.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know how you would have got down to 20. You know, you when these things come around, you always have a think about who's going to make it. And, you know, there's definitely always a few that are going to, you know, definitely going to be in there. But, you know, yeah, you could easily pick a squad of 50, I'm sure.
Yeah, when it's only one game a year, right, that makes it difficult. Do you know what I mean? I can remember this went back about 20 years ago and they had the Four Nations, which they played a couple of times a season, which obviously then you get more players getting selected and there's a bit more happiness around the place. But, you know, you just got to go with it. You got to go while you picked in on the night and try and get the result and do it for the Cymru Premier. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And I guess for those players who do miss out, it's a, you know, they've got to show you a bit more next year, I guess, you know, and it can raise their level if they want it that much. You mentioned the you know, going back 20 years ago and there was a Four Nations event. Is that something that you think might possibly happen in the future? Obviously, at the moment, it's one game a year. This is England. Is there a similar setup in Scotland or Northern Ireland or maybe even elsewhere in Europe that you'd like to sort of see it become more than just one game a year and maybe something a bit more regular?
I think everybody would, you know, would most probably like that to happen. I've had, over the past couple of seasons, we've had contacts from Ireland, definitely from Ireland. And it's just, we're going with what it is. So, you know, that's not my job. I suppose everybody would like to see it, of the players and, you know, the management staff and things like that. But that got to be put in place by people in the right places at the moment. We got to concentrate on most probably taking on the toughest team, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it so difficult.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, last year we lost 1-0 to England in Altrincham. Before that, you know, we've alluded to already, you managed Wales to a famous 4-1 victory in Carnarvon. It put players
4-0.
Sorry, my bad. I've done you dirty there. My bad.
Don't worry, son.
It put players like Will Evans and Nathan Wood in the shop window. You know, how important do you think these games are, not only for putting the players in the shop window, and obviously we shouldn't necessarily feel that our players have to go outside of Wales to be successful, but also the league as well. You know, this is a sort of chance for people outside of Wales to see what we're all about. And I guess that probably makes up a lot of your team talk as well. You know, prove themselves and the league in a game like this where we're going to have extra eyes on it.
Yeah, that's exactly. Look, you've just nailed it, right? You know that it's as a group we want to try and prove ourselves, and then you get a perfect evening when you win 4-0 and everybody shouts from the rooftops. Will Evans gets a move, then goes on. Oh, it's okay. He'll go to Newport County. How will he do there? You know, is he good enough? He's only from the Cymru Premier. Is he good enough to get a second season at Newport? Is he good enough to score 23 goals so far? Is he good enough to score against Manchester United? You know, that goes down to the hard work of Cardiff Met. It goes down to the hard work of Bala. And it goes down to a wonderful evening when he scored a brace. So you just want that. Every one of these boys now playing next Tuesday night, you know, I'm sure there's 6 or 7 of them will come into the age bracket of thinking, I wouldn't mind a piece of that.
Mm. Yeah, I guess it's added motivation, like I said. Obviously, England, you've mentioned, are a tough old opposition. You know, a lot professional clubs in the National League with probably, I'd say, 20 out of the 24 sides in that league have probably got bigger budgets than most of the sides in the Cymru Prem, maybe even all of them. Preparation time is obviously limited due to players' club commitments. I think you get them next Monday and then the game is the Tuesday, is that correct? Or do you have them on the Sunday?
Sunday, we'll meet Sunday dinner time.
Yeah.
We'll get together, we'll train Sunday afternoon. We'll then train twice on Monday, once sort of a walkthrough on set plays and things on Tuesday morning. And then off we go, 7:45 next Tuesday.
Yeah, so, you know, the preparation time is hugely limited. So how do you prepare in terms of playing a side like England? How much analysis goes into their team? You know, who are their danger men that we maybe should be looking out for come next Tuesday? And what are you expecting, them to be like?
Well, like you said, I think the first squad, their squad often changes late, Ryan. Their squad often changes late. The last couple of seasons, you know, they had the like of Macaulay Langstaff and Mullen involved, where they pulled out on the weekend before. So, you know, we look through the squad first of all. Our analyst is you know, absolutely fantastic, Dominic Mahoney. He started with us, Dominic Mahoney started with us 4 or 5 years ago, joined us, you know, down at Jenner Park when we played in a 3-2 defeat to England. He since came, you know, Salford when we drew 2-2, then the 4-0 win, and he was with us last season. And he's just come from local Welsh League football to go to Malta and win the title as an analyst in Malta. And this season, he's gone to Saudi Arabia, by the way, and he's coming home. He's coming home from Saudi Arabia next Friday and going back next Wednesday in between his team's league fixtures. Brilliant. So for me, that you're talking about the Will Evans success, this is just as, you know, just as big as it. Everything's, you know, sometimes the things go behind the scenes that people don't realize. You know, we got great, you know, good coaches involved. We got, you know, the, like you said, all the people around the camp. And for us, it's all about everybody who's involved. Not, you know, it's just, there's no stars in the camp. It's just about getting together as a squad and trying to put a performance in against a team who are supposedly, you know, highly rated.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Obviously, the game itself will take place in Stebbin Heath Park in Llanelli. A happy hunting ground for you as a manager, Jonah, winning the Welsh Cup there in 2007. Are you looking forward to returning to the dugout at the famous Stebbo once again?
Oh, Stebbo. It's always been a, you know, it's a great ground, Stebbo. Like I said, I think I said it last week. It's, you know, it's bowling green material, Stebbo. It always has been fantastic ground. And they're a big, you know, they're a big club, type of club who would be welcome back in into the Cymru Premier League. I just hope that we get a good crowd down there, and they get, you know, we get a good spirit behind the lads when they go out. Because, you know, we played at Altrincham last year. It's always tougher playing away from home. That's just the basics of football, isn't it? Mm. But we'd like to get down there, get a crowd behind us and get the boys going early on.
Yeah. So, you know, how important is that crowd in a game like this? You know, if we can, you know, if we can use our limited platform to maybe get an extra few faces through the gate, that's sort of what we want to do and sort of promote the game and the league. How important are the crowd in a one-off game like this? They can make the difference, can't they?
I think so, Ryan, definitely. You know, I often talk about the Cymru Premier League. It's just one thing that most probably, if you had a magic wand, you could just put the wand down and plant 1,000 spectators at every game. What a difference it would make to our league, to our, you know, the players playing in front of crowds. And, you know, it'd be a massive... We did it at Caernarfon in front of, I think it was 1,500 or 2,000 when we won 4-0, and that made the night all the much so much more special. So we just hope that we have a crowd there and we could just produce a little bit of magic again.
Yes, that would be lovely. Set the international week off to a good start. Jonah, obviously you managed plenty of games in the Cymru Premier. Do these games maybe give you a little bit of an itch to get back in the dugout full time? Would you consider a return to management full time in the Cymru leagues?
I was very lucky to join Scotty O'Ryan. Mm. Very, very lucky. And I've been commentating now for over a decade. And I thoroughly enjoy the commentary, you know. So, to say my time is done as a manager, you know, you never know. But I don't think it'll ever take the place of that commentary box, mate.
Yeah. Well, yeah. One game a year in the commentary box does sound like a nice gig. Yeah. Well, thank you ever so much, Jonah. That was fascinating. A reminder to everyone listening, the Cymru C take on England C at Stebbin Heath Park, Llanelli, next Tuesday, the 19th of March, to kick off a big week of international football. Tickets are £8 for an adult, £3 for an under 16, and can be bought at faw.cymru/tickets. I'll pop a link in the description as well. It'll be a great evening of football, no doubt. So if you can make it, get down there and support the boys. Cheers, Jonah, and best of luck for the game. I'll be rooting for you, and fingers crossed we can repeat 2 years ago in Caernarfon.
Thank you very much, Ryan. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, there we are. Two great chats. A lot of good info. I really enjoyed speaking to them both. Really interesting. So hopefully you enjoy listening as much as I enjoyed talking to them. So thanks as always for listening to the pod. We should be back next week for our big playoff preview pod. And this week we'll play out on Adele's new song, Silly Boy. It's a great tune. So have a good one. Buy the magazine and speak next week. Why don't you come around, tell me.